What is going on, Tucson, Arizona, and everybody out there in cyberspace listening in the Instagram Live and such? We are out here in a very, very interesting day for the Southwest. I mean, what is going on in Southern Arizona today? This is something that I never expected in my 4 years here. I came to U of A thinking, oh, you get 330 days of sunshine a year. Sweet. I'm down, even if that's 100. Whatever. But no. Today we have something very interesting. Very. And it's snowing. It is straight up snowing in the desert right now. All over. And this is not just itty-bitty snow on the base of Mount Lemmon. Nope. The snow is falling on the streets of Tucson right now, currently. I mean, this is like, people are freaking out. Everything on social media this morning has been, oh, it's snowing in Tucson, because it's just like, it's the weirdest thing to see. I mean, I heard, my roommate told me that the last snowed 4 years ago. And then I'm pretty sure over winter break, there was a day that it snowed at in like the outside cities of Tucson, I think like Vail. But yeah, gosh, this is just weird. It's like, I mean, everyone gets kind of frantic because this just never happens ever. This is just straight up weird. But anyway, wasn't really a snow day. Class is still. Work still, everything was still kind of going on today, but we got some headlines, boys. We got some headlines. I mean, where do you even begin? You know what? I've been wanting to cover this for this whole week, pretty much ever since I heard. We're gonna start off with Machado. All right. So, Manny Machado, this whole offseason, has been holding out. He's been waiting for the deal, waiting for the team. He's gotten offers from multiple teams. Multiple. Him and Harper are the reason that this offseason has been extended as long as it has. But Machado finally came to a deal. He's heading to San Diego. San Diego? Like, okay. Giants fan here, NL West, you know, it's going to bring more competition. It absolutely is. I don't think those Padres games are ever going to be guaranteed. I mean, they always seem to find a way to beat us, which is, you know, even in our winning years, they always found a way to beat us. But, I mean, they got some firepower. They got serious firepower on that team. Will Myers, Eric Hosmer, Manny Machado. That's pretty good, but that is, I think it's like $585 million between those three guys, okay? That's half a bill for three players. That's crazy, but, you know, that's the reality of this league. I mean, Machado is waiting. He found an opportunity where he's, you know, clear-cut starter, obviously. And I think sometimes guys like Machado, when they have the hype in an offseason like they do, they want to be the guy. They don't really want to come into a team with a lot of loaded superstars. Because, you know, in that contract year, you're working your tail off to try to get the contract that you want. And now that you're kind of, you know, sitting in a different place, it's a completely different scenario. So, I mean, I don't know. I think the good thing about the Padres is that they have a great farm system. They've been, you know, they've had a losing record majority of the years in the past decade. That's kind of everyone knows that. But the thing about losing teams is you build and you build and you build. And that's what they've been doing with these picks. I mean, we've seen a little bit of the Padres come in and play their young rookies and their young guys. But there's one guy that really stands out in all of baseball. He's the number two prospect in all of baseball. Okay? I think Kopech on the White Sox is number one, I want to say. But Fernando Tatis Jr., he's this young phenom that is supposed to be, could be the next Machado at short. I mean, Machado started at short. He's probably going to be playing third on the Padres. But that's, you know, they have young guns. Machado's still in his prime at 26. Hosmer, Myers, still young. You know, they've had experience in the bigs for 3-4 years now, but they are still in their prime. So I don't think the Padres are going to be good automatically, but put them in contention soon. I mean, look at the Rockies. The Rockies used to be kind of a joke. I mean, in between when the Giants were winning, they had some years, but they really turned on the Jets in the past 2-3 seasons. And that's when they really start taking advantage of the offseason. They've had good acquisitions. They actually improved their pitching. You know, Jermaine Marquez is great. But I think, you know, the NL West is definitely going to be heating up soon. I mean, especially if Bryce comes to the Giants. I mean, this is eating me. Eating me. Because day in, day out, new mystery team. Team drops out. Blah, 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 blah. It's the same news article every day. Every morning you wake up, you check MLB. It's the same thing. I want some clarity. I mean, spring training starts today, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if it, I don't think there's ever been a snowed out baseball game in Phoenix, Arizona, in the Phoenix area. I didn't even think about that. Spring training starts today, folks. Like, and this is not Chase Field. There are no domes on these fields, these random minor league fields that games actually have to start getting played on. And even the actual spring training, I mean, there are no domes. So, that is real. I didn't even think of a snowed out spring train. And on opening day. Yeah. I mean, these games, the Mariners Athletics game was canceled. Mariners A's yesterday was canceled. That's nuts. But okay, back to Bryce. I know how hard it is to hit a home run out of right field. I know. It's one of the hardest in the league. But we used to have a man named Barry Bonds who came in. I made this point before last year. We had a man named Barry Bonds. What age did he come to the Giants at? 26. How old is Bryce Harper? 26. Look at the career. I know, you know, steroids aside, whatever. If you look at the longevity of the career that Barry had and the success that he had, specifically hitting home runs out of right field into Splash from into McCovey Cove, Barry specialized at that. And I don't see why not Bryce can't develop a more pull on that swing. He already looks like a pull hitter. If he can find a way, if he comes to the Giants, and if he plays right field, and he masters right field, and then he comes up to the plate, and he's hitting bombs into McCovey, that's going to send me back to my childhood, because I'm going to think that I'm watching the next Barry Bonds. That 8-year-old back home that needs someone to look up to for this next upbringing of this Giants baseball. it's either going to be Joey Bart or it's going to be Bryce Harper. It's going to be one of the two. Those are the next guys up for this team. As much as I want to say Mad Bum and Buster and Crawford and Panic and Belt, and they're getting old. I mean, look at our outfield. It's already depleted. I mean, we're starting guys that are 23, 24 years old that have been getting sent up and down to Sacramento all last season. Kelby Tomlinson probably came up and down 20 times last year. So I want more clarity in this lineup. I want to know we have an aggressive guy that's going to go out and can hit 35 to 40 home runs a year. Because right now, the leading home run hitter on the Giants is someone that we just signed. He wasn't even on the team last year. Yandrovis Solarte, okay? Which is, it's a very Farhan signing. Let me just say that for you right now. Because it's not a name like Bryce, but it's a guy that, you know, he hit 17, 18 home runs last year. That's production. That's production we could be using in that ballpark any day of the week. If you look at any of those outfielders, I mean, Solarte is an infielder. He plays all the infield positions. But I mean, if you just look at production from a hitting perspective, we need guys like that. Solarte is, it's a good signing. I like it. It's very crafty. It's very Farhan. But man, if we could lock Bryce up, oh my gosh. It would be a next generation of Giants baseball. It really would. I know my boy Chase just joined on here. I would love to see what his thoughts are on Bryce Harper potentially signing with the Giants. So if you see that, Chase, let me know. Let me see what you think. I feel like you got a decent perspective on that. But yeah, I mean, it's coming down to an end. This is getting close. These games are getting canceled by snow right now, but Bryce doesn't have much more time. I mean, the Giants just, they signed this pitcher yesterday. I think he was on the Phillies last year. And he said, we're not Bryce Harpers. We don't have all spring to wait. And wait, we have to make our bread, pretty much. We have to be the ones that are committed and just going to say, hey, if I need to take a minor league contract, I'm going to take it. This dude drove 14 hours from Texas to come to, or I think from Portland or somewhere far away, but to officially sign, like, that's how dedicated he was. And that was on a minor league deal. But he makes a good point. I mean, it's crazy how weird this offseason has been. It blows my mind. I mean, I thought the JD offseason last year was weird and how he signed about a week before, you know, spring training started. I didn't think there would ever really be another kind of situation like that. But this is not just coming from a fan's perspective. This is not just coming from a guy that's doing radio and talking about sports. These players are noticing that something's up. Something's really up. I mean, I wouldn't stand for that. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if there's another holdout, another, you know, when the season got shut down for basketball, I think it was in like 2012, something like that, 2011, maybe, I don't know. Some year, there was a lockdown or a lockout. And that was very weird. And then the season started halfway, there was half the games. It's just weird. But I don't know. I think this has got to come to an end soon. I mean, he's got to get some practice time. And he's got to get some chemistry. I mean, if he wants that 300 mil, he's got to develop chemistry with that longevity team too. He's got to start off on a good note because obviously he has the name. Lockout 2011. Thank you, Pat. Appreciate that fact check. You a goat. But yeah. So that pretty much covers the Bryce and the Machado. But we had some very, very interesting news today that broke. And that it's a very weird notification. But Robert Kraft, okay, feel like you guys have probably heard this. Robert Kraft was found guilty of, or he was charged with soliciting prostitution. I think I just got one thing to say. Sawe Babe. He gone. That's not a good look. That is not a good look coming after that Super Bowl. Wow. Prostitution? Come on, man. You're like 70 years old. Literally, dude looks drunk at like every Patriots game. Every time that you zoom into Robert Kraft, he just looks like he's hammered out of his mind. But that is very weird. And so he was charged with a misdemeanor, solicitation of prostitution. This is in Florida. Had to happen in Florida, am I right? I mean, Florida man, Florida this, it had to happen in Florida, of course. But yeah, 77-year-old Kraft hasn't been arrested yet, but a warrant will be issued and his attorneys will be notified. Charge comes amid a widespread crackdown on sex trafficking in the area surrounding Palm Beach County. About 20 arrest warrants have been issued in recent days and more are expected. A spokesperson for Kraft said in a statement, they categorically deny that Mr. Kraft engaged in any illegal activity. Because it's a judicial matter, we will not be commenting further. The NFL is aware of the ongoing law enforcement matter and will continue to monitor developments, the league said in a statement Friday. So, of course, they're going to deny. That's what every high-up person does. They deny the night because they don't want to get, that ruins your whole reputation. Everything. Obviously, this is still new. This is not, for sure. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty. But this is like, this doesn't just come out to like ruin Robert Kraft. Like, no one's gunning for Kraft here. This is like this is all him. And that's just not a good look for your rap and just everything that you've built with that team. I mean, they've had the Deflategate, they've had the cheating scandal, they've had the Patriots are just, they just get boom, 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 year after year. There's always something. I mean, not year after year, but, every other year, there's definitely some weird story. And there's been a lot of weird things about Robert Kraft in the past few years. So, I don't know if it surprises a lot of people that, I know this doesn't surprise my roommate, Mike Chase, if you're listening to this, I know, this does not come as a shock to you. But they're going to have to clean that up. PR, good luck. Patriots PR team, have yourself a day. They're going to have to send. They're definitely going to have to send something to get their kind of reputation back on the feet on their own terms. But yeah, Robert Kraft, man, weird guy, weird dude. So now I'm going to move on to more NFL. There's been a lot of rumors, speculations. Mostly it's been about Le'Veon. I was listening to the radio yesterday, and I heard the teams in the lead for Le'Veon are the Indianapolis Colts and the New York Jets. I don't know why the Colts would necessarily be in the mix. I mean, Marlon Mack's the future for that backfield, 100%. They got three good guys: Wilkins, Nyheim Hines. So I don't know if that really makes sense. They probably have to cut Wilkins. I don't even know if they want to do that. But the Jets, Elijah McGuire, He's aight. He's aight. Like, nothing special. He got way over-projected in fantasy about half the games last year. Oh, yeah, Elijah McGuire. Projection for 12. I'm going to get 2. Nice. Great. Love it. But, yeah, so Elijah McGuire and the Crow, Isaiah Crowell, lead that backfield. And I could definitely see Le'Veon go into, like, I could see it happening because of the fit and, like, the need for an elite running back to pair with Sam Darnold. And, like, I don't like USC, but I think Sam Darnold's a good quarterback. I think that he's actually going to be a good quarterback in this league and a good quarterback for the Jets. In the future, if you just pair him with weapons, you get him a couple wideouts and a Pro Bowl running back. I don't know. That's interesting. Yeah, I know. He is a fro show, but he is pretty good, Pat. You do have to say that he's... I think that if you just give him talent, you know, because last year, like, he was productive for a decent amount in the season, but I think if Le'Veon gets on that team, you put him in the backfield for 3 downs, that spreads the whole field. And I don't know if what they're going to do in the draft this year, but, you know, they could get crafty, get a wide out, get a nice little wide receiver 1. You never know. I mean, they got their quarterback situation figured out, so we'll see. But another rumor that's been floating around is OBJ. He's not, I don't really think he's been happy in the situation with New York recently. OBJ is definitely a dramatic player, obviously. Since he's come into the league, he's been known for his emotional reactions, and he's kind of like, he makes the big plays. He's made that famous one-handed catch. He's made other great plays that have just been absolute highlights. But he is a diva. He is a diva. And the Patriots have been linked to OBJ. The Niners have been linked to OBJ. But these are all speculations. These are all speculations. Patrick, what'd you say? I think Darnold goes down as the best first play of a career. That's a good point. But, I mean, yeah, I could see the Patriots going for him. Could definitely see the Niners going for him. Also, AB has been linked to the Niners. He's been linked to the Packers. He's been linked to what other teams? I forget. But there's a lot going around. Also from the Giants, Landon Collins, not happy. Cleared out his locker. And that looks like it's for good. They're not going to place the tag on him. OBJ and Tom, I don't know if it would take away necessarily from Tom and Edelman, because that is a great connection, but it honestly might enhance it, because I feel like people are after that Super Bowl, people are going to start figuring out how to key in on Edelman, because obviously he's not 6'4", he's not 230, he's not the guy that you're going to be throwing goal line fades to, he's not Calvin. But he gets in screen plays, he gets quick slants, he gets out in the open, he gets in the flat. He is a very good receiver. But if OBJ comes to that team, you now have a long ball threat. So now you have to have your safeties automatically go to that. And if you put Julian in the slot, I mean, I feel like that could definitely open something up in the middle of the field. That's the reality of what happens when a receiver like that comes to a team. I mean, they're not signing Paul Richardsons, you know, out there. These are top 5 receivers that are on the move. OBJ and AB. It's a good time to be keying in, but I want this stuff going down. I want to be reporting on the facts. I don't want to be reporting on just the speculations. So with that, everybody, I'm going to be taking just a quick little break here at the kind of the halfway mark of the show. But when we come back, we'll be talking some Zion, that knee, that was pretty brutal. Talking some zone of basketball and some other topics. So stick around on the Grand Slam. Thanks for tuning in. Ooh. Oh, yeah. I'm going to go get a Red Bull, Pat. Hold up. Need a recharge. You know I did. Hey, give me some more stuff that I can talk about, because I just got Zion and Zona right now. So if you got anything else, comment down. I'll be right back. No Red Bull. We out. All-Star Weekend. Yes. Oh, baby. Oh, and I got to talk about Boach. I have to talk about Boach. I've been wanting to talk about that for a minute. Okay. Boachy, All-Star. I want to talk about that Giannis oop. Oop from Steph. What else happened, like, recently? All-Star. We'll go from there. And we are back here on the Grand Slam with your boy Slam Cena, covering the most important topics in sports today. Oh, man. All right. So, first thing, I wanted to cover this right after I covered Machado, but I forgot. Now I remembered. So, my boy, Bruce Bochy, he's retiring after this year. And for us Giants fans, that's pretty weird. It's very, I don't know. I mean, this guy has absolutely transformed that ball club in my childhood. And that's something I will always remember. Oh, Mike, we already covered Robert Kraft. Just check in after this live is done. And I actually, I gave you a little shout out on a little bit, but, go back after this gets posted and you'll find the Robert Kraft stuff. Cause it's interesting. I know. Sorry about that, buddy. But yeah, going back to Boach, I love that guy. I literally love Bruce Bochy. He's like the heart and soul of that baseball team. And the fact that there's going to be another guy running that team is just, it's kind of beyond me. It's kind of weird. Because that's just not something I'm really used to, having a manager switch. Normally there's teams that kind of have 2-3 managers in a short amount, but not the Giants. I mean, Boach came in 2007. And in a 13-year span, 3 World Series. I'd say that's pretty good. I would say that's definitely good. But I'm going to miss him. I mean, I'm going to miss that style of baseball because Boach does it differently. He's going to be right in Cooperstown, right with all the goats. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what Farhan's going to do, how he's going to deal with the – how he's going to be dealing with the signing or with a new potential manager coming in. But we'll see. We'll definitely see. It's been – it's been a good run.